Hello, this is Tim Price. I'm so thankful you're joining me here on the Go Harvest podcast. Today, I want to talk about how to overcome challenges with a growth mindset.
Welcome to the Tim Price Go Harvest podcast, where our mission is to equip and encourage ministry leaders. We're so thrilled to have you listening to our podcast, and our prayer is that it will be helpful to you and your teams. If you have any thoughts or questions, feel free to reach out to us at timpriceblog.com. We'd also be honored if you would subscribe and share with others. Heading now to today's episode.
It's been quite a while since I read the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, but it is a great book and it really stuck with me. Her point behind the fact that some people are wired to accept a challenge just for the sake of learning. These people, she says, have a growth mindset. Whether or not they're successful in their endeavor, it doesn't really matter. They believe the challenge will help them learn, and in many ways, they even enjoy the challenge just for the sake of it. On the other hand, the flip side is that some people with a fixed mindset don't want to experience failure. They would rather stick with something they know and do well in order not to be labeled a failure. So they'll choose the least challenging path, and they kind of continue to support their own notion that they're good at whatever it is. So a fixed mindset person would rather not take a risk than to look like a failure to the outside world. So I began to think, wonder if churches can fall into one of these categories. I wonder if some churches stick with what they know worked years ago, even though it's clearly not working now, just because they don't want to take a risk or step out or move into more of a growth mindset. So I just wonder what would it take and what could happen if we did move into a growth mindset. So one of the things about this mindset stuff, I've read several books recently. It seems like a pretty popular topic in the Christian circles. And I don't want to ever get to a point where it's all about thinking power or, you know, doing what we can do on our own strength. But I do believe in this idea that Jesus calls us to look up, to look ahead, and to trust that He is leading, that greater things are going to happen when we put our hope and trust in Him. When we know, as far as the church goes, that it's His church, that we're stewards, and for as long as we have breath, we lift up His name and we seek to proclaim the gospel to a lost and broken world. And so Jesus, I think, does call for more of a growth mindset than a fixed mindset. His invitation to follow me and become fishers of men required a whole new way of life. It was new and different operation, different way of living, and the first disciples didn't really know if they could do it or not, and they weren't even sure what the challenge even meant. Another place where Jesus calls for a growth mindset is in the parable of the talents, and I think that Jesus is inviting us in that parable to take something and increase it with the risk required. In fact, the master chastised the one who wouldn't take risks with what was given to him. And so that's a pretty sad story in a lot of ways, but it does encourage us. So pastors and church leaders, where are you? Where is your church? Does the challenge to try, learn, fail, and keep trying cause you to become stoked or cause you to become stalled? So how can a church develop a growth mindset? Number one, trust in God's power. People and churches are pretty terrible at estimating their own abilities and potentials. Typically, a growth mindset will be better able to understand potential than a fixed mindset. So a church should really trust God's power and presence to be with them. The Holy Spirit's at work, Jesus is always with us, and the Word of God is never going to fail. This alone should cause us to move ahead, to move forward, and to do what we believe God is calling us to do. So if there is something that you want to try, then of course there's some strategy involved at times. There's some, you know, timing that you want to kind of work with. You want to be the best at, you know, pulling these things off as you can be. You don't want to just go out half-baked with an idea or an outreach or a program of any kind. But once you have done the due diligence, then you step out, you step forward, and you trust in God's power, knowing that either way, God's aim is going to be glorified. The second thing is, to help us move into a growth mindset as a church, is to know and believe with all our hearts that the church belongs to Jesus. Thankfully, you and I don't own the church. It belongs to the Lord. We're managers, we're stewards, we're shepherds in the church, but it's ultimately God's church. And in several different ways throughout Scripture, Jesus teaches that those who do not bear fruit are cut off. We must have a growth mindset as we work and serve on behalf of Jesus in his kingdom. We must have this desire to bear fruit, to bear witness to his love, to spread the gospel message, and to stay on task and on point, not to get off on tangents and fads and things of the world, but that we would stay true to being what a church truly is. And the best way to stay faithful in that is to realize that the church is Jesus. Number three, we want to put in the effort. A fixed mindset assumes that you are all you can be and you'll never change because that is just who you are. So in a church world, this might be something along the lines of, we're a small church, or we're in a bad area, or we can't accomplish this because our budget is too small, or our leadership is not enough leaders involved in our ministry. But a growth mindset is all about believing that you can change. And basically, it just kind of requires the action and the work and the time, and all that rolled into one is basically the effort. You must work to change your own mindset and that of your congregation. And a lot of that, unfortunately, for us as leaders, hinges on us as leaders. Everyone wins when the leader gets better. I've heard that phrase from multiple people on various podcasts and in various books. But it is true that as the leader is growing in faith and growing in spiritual growth and in prayer and in dreams and vision for the church and even in physical growth in terms of spiritual disciplines or health disciplines, any of those things are going to have a ripple effect to your church being willing to put in the effort of being in a growth mindset. So that's the first three. The fourth one is know you can change. So you might listen at times, like I do, about churches that are wildly successful in ministry or reaching out, evangelism, developing or discipleship, leadership, and you kind of look at your own church and you kind of think, oh man, we can't do that, or we haven't done that, or what's the deal? Why can't we do that? And the fact is that as the internet explodes with zillions of examples of highly successful leaders and ministries and worship bands and churches and all this stuff, your church has you. Your church isn't in those places. Your church is in your community in this time in history, with you being at the helm in whatever role you play with your team and your people. So don't wait until you get to the next church or get to the next big thing. Change the church you are in now. If you want to be at a bigger church that's discipling more people or reaching out in bigger ways or has more amazing sermons or worship times or whatever the case is, don't find that church, create that church. And so you can be a part of knowing that your church can change. You are leading this church because you've been called here for now. So know that you can make a difference. And I think that's part of this idea of fixed mindset versus growth mindset. You have to believe that God can stretch your church, stretch you as a person, stretch your leadership, and grow it. And so as we engage in that process, then powerful things can happen. Before we get to the last two, we'll have this short commercial. All right, we're back, and we've got this springboard from the book Mindset by Carol Dweck. And it just made me think, I wonder if the church as a whole, our congregation, can get into a certain mindset that maybe we can't grow or we're stuck in this pattern because we feel like we want to stay successful and not take any risks. And so the first ones we've talked about here to begin more of a growth mindset, trust in God's power, know the church belongs to Jesus, put in the work and the effort, understand that you can change, and here are the last two. Ask the right question. Don't ask, how can we grow? Ask, what is keeping us from growing? One role the leader has, or the pastor, or whatever team you're leading has, is to remove the barriers to growth. And often these barriers can be overcome with small successes, an invitation to try something new, or anything that you can do to reach out to the community, the people around you, the ministry that you have been given for kids, adults, or whoever. I have another blog post somewhere it may be a podcast. I'm not even sure. I should have looked it up. But if you search in our blog, timpriceblog.com, there is a post that says, is your church at a growth barrier? Ask this simple question. And that is a simple question. What is keeping us from growing? So when we ask that question, we begin to see the things that are in our way. And then the final one for helping your church move into more of a growth mindset is to invite people. On a practical level, how are you inviting people to your church? Well, there's a lot of answers to that. Sometimes the pastor, leaders in the church are kind of the charismatic, in the community, all over the place type people, and they literally do attract, you know, others to be involved. But even if you're not that person, you are the shepherd leading the congregation. I heard somebody say one time that the best way to have more sheep is to understand that sheep beget sheep. And so the equipping and the training and the inspiration to the people in your church to know that they are not only welcome to invite people, but it's mandated as a Christian believer to be a witness to those around in friends, coworkers, neighborhoods. Teach your people how to invite. And at the same time, whether or not you're gregarious, extroverted, or introverted, doesn't really matter. All of us are called to be a witness and a light. And so even if you're not all over the place in the community, as a leader, you need to be modeling what it means to have connections and relationships and to invite some of those people. So who have you invited to church? Invitations are simple, but staying intentional is really hard work. Sometimes we think back to when a church plant got started. Everybody knew the mission. The mission was to share the gospel and invite people to be a part. And then as soon as a church kind of becomes more established or been around for a long time, it can get watered down a little bit. You can kind of survive for literally decades while you're kind of fading away from a strong mission and a successful kind of ministry, just because you're kind of living on the structure or the framework. And we don't want that. We want to make sure that we're inviting people. And as we do, there is something almost magical that happens, because when we are reaching out, the church is at its best. There's no time to argue about insignificant things. There's no time to bicker about whatever. There's no time to worry about the minor differences that don't really matter. All of a sudden, everyone is clear on the mission. And as new people come in, there's a fresh sense of God at work in people's lives, hearts being changed, homes being transformed. And that is what really inspires and motivates the church. It starts teaching us that God is up to stuff in the hearts and lives of people. And he's using us, our church here today in our little town, our little community, our big city, wherever you're at, and you are making a difference. Rick Warren once quipped that it's easy to grow a church. You just have to get people to show up. And a lot of internal issues, as I've already mentioned, can be solved simply by inviting new people. So we want to invite, invite, invite. And that is one of the keys that's going to help us grow into a new mindset. As that comes, there is some whitewater kind of life that happens. You got new systems, new structures, more people, more problems, all kinds of things like that. But it does invigorate the church. So I'm inviting you to just kind of take an assessment, a simple sort of just on your own to look around. Is your church in a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? And then I look to you as the leader to say, are you in a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? Are you willing to try new things? Are you sticking with the same old script because you're uncertain of how it's going to play out if you do something drastically new? Some of the new things that people have done have been the turning point that changed everything. And that's an ongoing sort of thing. You can't just rely on the new thing that you did 4 or 5 years ago. If your success stories are from way in the past, then you're going to have to take a step forward. You can grow into a growth mindset. So I invite you to take a look at the blog post, share it with your team, talk to people that you're in connection with, and just begin to pray that God will open up the doors for you to be in a growth mindset, that you would trust him. So we're going to trust in God's power, know the church belongs to Jesus, put in the hard work, understand that we can change, ask the right question, and invite people. And I hope that that's helpful to you today. I'm praying for your church and for your ministry, and look forward to hearing and connecting with you next time. Thanks.
Thanks for listening today. We hope this has been encouraging and helpful to you. Stay in touch with us at timpriceblog.com. Until next time, keep following in the footsteps of Jesus and lifting up the name of the Lord. Thanks for your work in ministry.